that enlightenment. Our next presenter will be Reverend Dr. David from Malawi.
Thank you, the chair. With me is a presentation titled Christianity, a state sponsored religion in Malawi. There's a question mark at the end. A critical evaluation of the relationship between the CCP former synod and the Malawi Congress Party, led government, 1964 to 1994. I have an article of 18 pages. I don't know whether I'll manage to read everything, but I'll try to skip some of the passages. I'll just read where it will be necessary, especially the first part where it reads, "It is undeniable truth that in the history of church, Christianity at times, in some regions or countries, somehow became a state-sponsored religion. Using what had happened in Malawi, particularly in the history of the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian, a critical evaluation is made regarding when, how, and why Christianity became a state-sponsored religion in the light of the relationship between former synod and the state between 1964 and 1994. The choice of former synod as a case study is influenced by what theologians and Christian organizations and some politicians claim, particularly that the former synod aligned closely with the Malawi Congress Party government during the post-independence era. It will be confined to the events and the records of the dates given above. The study in the area argues that the way how the former synod related to the Malawi Congress Party government led to harmful ecumenical isolation and hampered the church from living out its prophetic calling towards the state. Introduction. In order to set the study in its context, some knowledge of history of former synod and of politics in Malawi may be required. So here I have given that a brief history. So I think I'm not going to read. But what is important in the discussion is that we have also some historians like Mark Shaw, who says that missionaries and the colonial administrators were playing in the same team. But what is interesting so far is that most of the missionary churches were important critics of the British administration, particularly whenever its actions were harmful to the interests of the indigenous people. That is example in Malawi. And again, there is also a quotation which I have taken. That's the remark by the British governor, who said that the missionaries at that time are taking a course that makes them appear in the eyes of the natives of this protectorate, that is Malawi, as an opposition party to the administration. That is how the state looked on the church. Now I also skip that. I move to the next part, especially why is this article important. This article aims to search when, how, and why the church aligns closely with the state and the implication this may cause on the ecumenical life and prophetic calling of the church towards the state. What will be argued in this paper is that whenever there is a too close relationship between the church and state, the church becomes a state-sponsored agency and Christianity becomes a state-sponsored religion. Or saying in other words, the close alignment between the church and state leads to harmful ecumenical isolation and hampers the church from living out its prophetic calling vis-a-vis the state. Therefore, the article does not claim to provide answers to the proposed question, but it humbly requests churches to always examine and evaluate their relationship with the state in the light of their prophetic calling. The methodology, I skip that part. Then I move to a subheading where I have given a brief survey of the relationship between the former synod of the Church of Central Africa in Malawi and the colonial government, that is between 1891 to 1964. I read just the first part of the article. Malawi had been made a British protectorate after the boundaries between the British and the Portuguese were settled, because the Free Church of Scotland, so too the Livingstonia Mission, was reluctant to be under the British rule, but the established Church of Scotland had no wish to see Blantyre administered by the Portuguese. This is also a quotation from Linden and Weller. The ecclesiastical history of Malawi is that the Presbyterian Church was founded by the missionaries from the Church of Scotland and the Free Church of Scotland, and it was also joined by the missionaries from South Africa, that's from the Dutch Reformed Church of the Cape Synod. So that is the brief background of that. Now, what happened? According to Linden and Weller, the Scottish and Anglicans in Malawi played a part in opening up the country to colonial rule. That is to say, the colonial government was influenced by the Scottish and the Anglican missionaries. From the moment of protectorates, I'm reading the quotation, was declared in 1891, the missionaries, particularly the Scots of Blantyre and Livingstonia, had a colonial policy. Their original aim had been to secure a British rule, because these two missionary churches didn't want to be under the Portuguese. So that's why they took an initiative. Now, what was the position of the Commission, which was previously called the Dutch Reformed Church Mission? So I'm also quoting what Linden and also Weller noted. As it reads, as British rule was gradually extended, missionary opposition sprang up first among the Dutch Reformed Church and then at Livingstonia. Most bitter was the battle in the central region where the former synod is located, between the Dutch Reformed and the tax collectors. One of the first missionaries protested in 1900 that because men refused to pay taxes on account of their hardship in terror to going to work for 200 miles away from their homes when there was a great scarcity of food. Now, as a result, women and little children had been ruthlessly shot down by native policemen. That's what happened. And this also made the Dutch Reformed Church missionaries, that's the present the former synod, to accuse to oppose the British people for introducing this hard tax which separated families. Now, here is that the Dutch Reformed Missionaries' policy and their view of themselves considered themselves as the conscience of the administration, and this made them to be unpopular. Thank you. Now, the next part which I have also examined is the issue concerning when and how Christianity become a religion. That's the second part of my presentation. I have come up with four case studies, of which, because of my time limit, I cannot just mention everything. But what I have noted in my research is that there was a case concerning Reverend Adishan Chimombo. He was the Reverend of former synod. In fact, he was suspended just because it was claimed that he conducted baptism and confirmation within 4 days. And then he was told to go home. But when he was reluctant, and then the issue was reported to the Malawi Congress Party during that time, and then the Malawi Congress Party had to write him a letter asking him to go home. So then I was looking at why the state had to dismiss the minister of the church, not the church itself, saying, please, you have breached this article, then you have to go home. But then I'm arguing why the political party had to intervene in such ecclesiastical issue. That is the first issue. And the second issue is about the theological college. The theological college was located at Nkoma, that's the mission headquarters, but the Malawi Congress Party government influenced the former synod to move the theological college to Zomba. It was in a capital city of Malawi at that time. Now, on this, I'm arguing why was the state trying also to ask or to command the church, saying, please, can you move this theological college and put it there? Why? So that's the question I am also having in this paper. And the next thing is about the prayers and the loyal messages to the president, of which I have taken just very few of them, just to show the tone and also to verify that there was indeed a very close relationship between the former synod and also the Malawi Congress Party. So I have that in my paper. And then my last remark is on the way how the former synod related to the government. It made the church to be more or less like a department of the state. That is what I have noted. The last part, but one, is about the political transition. Malawi was under one-party system for 30 years, and after that there was a political transition. And what happened, the Roman Catholic Church issued a pastoral letter trying to guide the government on how enlighten the government on the political situation in Malawi. But then what happened? The churches in Malawi, all Christian churches, were divided into two. And what happened in the end was that the former synod found itself supporting the Malawi Congress Party, and other churches were on the other side. So I'm arguing why was this happened. Now, the last part, that is my concluding remark, I am examining the reasons why Christianity at times becomes a state-sponsored religion. Now, in the context of the former synod, first, I have this statement that this is because the Dutch Reformed missionaries had a political ethos that were taken over and maintained by the indigenous leadership. That's the cause which I have come up with in my paper. And the second one is about the location. Where is the location of power in Malawi? Now, where the former synod is located is the political base of the Malawi Congress Party. And then the point is, there was a close relationship between the former synod and the politicians. Because of that close relationship, historical relationship, the politicians used the former synod to influence it in a different way, especially when they wanted to achieve a political agenda. This is my presentation, how and when Christianity becomes a state-sponsored religion. Thank you, the Chair.